Broadcasting live from the Vegas Video Network studios, to steps from the Las Vegas Strip.
It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Welcome to the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Anthony Padilla.
Thanks, man. It's good to be here. Long week in sports for me. This week I'm excited because we'll be talking about booing sharks, thunderstorms at Disney World, and a new special weekly video blog called This Week in a Highlighted Heaven, brought to you by Scott's Hair.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's get started with What Say You. I never know what he's going to say. Let's get started with What Say You. Mark Cuban, don't you just love this guy, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks? He's a regular guy. He's like Anthony. He's like me. He wears tennis shoes in public. The only difference is Mark Cuban is a billionaire. He's not a big Derek Fisher fan simply because Derek Fisher signed with the Mavericks. Fisher, an average player on his best day, but he has been blessed to be on very good teams. He won 5 NBA championships, most recently with the Los Angeles Lakers, but he signed with the Dallas Mavericks because they won a championship a couple of years ago, but he was on this team this year and he realized, hey, you know what, this team kind of sucks, so I want out. He went to Mark Cuban, the owner, and said, listen, I want out. I want to spend more time with my family. Basketball is not a priority. Mark Cuban, players love playing for this guy because he goes out of his way to accommodate, puts his team in a position to win a lot of basketball games. Now, Mark Cuban is kind of like a scorned lover if you wrong him. Ask Jason Kidd, who bolted for New York to play for the Knicks after playing for the Mavs, and now Derek Fisher, he bailed, and Mark Cuban accommodated him, took him at his word. A few weeks later, Derek Fisher signed with the Oklahoma City Thunder, the frontrunners to win the Western Conference. So a reporter asked him this week when the Mavs were hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder, his thoughts on Derek Fisher, and Mark Cuban simply said, I'm going to boo him and I hope everyone joins me. So there you have it. Derek Fisher checked into the game and there's the owner of the Mavs, Mark Cuban, booing Derek Fisher, and 20,000 fans joined in. I realize it's somewhat of a juvenile act, but I like it. What say you?
Look, I think this is the perfect example. The shark became the bait and he doesn't like it. Mark Cuban is on Shark Tank, and I'm sorry, Mr. Cuban, but you, first and foremost, are a businessman. And for a man who made billions in his 30s, should know it's always about business first. This is not the first time this has ever happened. And you know what? I can't believe I'm saying this, but good for Derek Fisher for finally turning the tables on a team owner, because they don't care about players. They care about winning. And how many times have we seen an owner get rid of players, whether through trade or just releasing them because they're past their prime or they're looking to bring in somebody else to take the team in a different direction? And good for Derek Fisher. And you know what? Maybe Derek Fisher decided, I do want to be done. I do want to spend more time with my family. And this Dallas team, quite frankly, isn't that good. We're not going to contend this year. And then after a couple of weeks, we don't know, maybe the Thunder came calling and saying, look, we need a veteran leader on this team. Would you be interested? And he said, yeah, this is a team that's got a shot at winning a ring. So you know what, man? Good for Derek Fisher. And as far as that booing goes, I don't put it past Mark Cuban. I'm not surprised. It's another thing that's the kind of stuff he does. He is nothing like either of us because of that dollar figure alone. I don't care what kind of jeans or T-shirts he wears. Those are worth hundreds of dollars more than anything in my closet. So I wish I had a tenth of what that man has. But as far as this goes, good for Derek Fisher, man. Sticking it to the man.
I hesitate to even bring it up because Derek Fisher is such an average basketball player. He's past it. I have to say the one thing that Derek Fisher does pretty well is shoot the three. But players like that are a dime a dozen. Okay, he's living in the past. He's a tremendous liability on defense. So it's really hard for me to take this guy seriously. So kudos to Mark Cuban. All right, let's talk about the Miami Heat. They continue to be on fire. 24 consecutive wins, chasing the early 70s. Laker team that won 33 consecutive games. The second longest winning streak in all of basketball now in the history of the game belongs to the Miami Heat. They've won 24 consecutive games, most recently going on the road at the Cleveland Cavaliers as a big fat favorite. They won, but they were down 27 points, 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. A tremendous comeback, very, very tough to do. And they did it in record fashion. 6 minutes to go in the third quarter, you're down 27. Early in the fourth, you'd already made up that 27-point difference. The Miami Heat on fire. What say you?
It was actually reported that Mark Cuban flew to Cleveland just to boo LeBron James.
Is that right?
For coming back, and because of the way that he handled. Look, okay, this was Cleveland's perfect opportunity to get back at LeBron, you know? Now, when someone leaves the way he did, the only thing that was going to justify his decision was winning a ring, which he did. So therefore, Cleveland, you were upset, but he said he was leaving to pursue a ring, and he got it. Now, a lot of people say, you know, maybe next year, the year after, LeBron could end up in a Cavs uniform again. He still has a home in Ohio, and he always liked being there. He never said that he didn't enjoy being there. You know, I feel that a lot of Cleveland fans, much like Mark Cuban, took it too personal and forgot about the business side, and that ultimately the players should have a choice in going where they're going to go. And you said kudos to Mark Cuban in that last story. Well, at the end of the day, all he got out of it was booing Derek Fisher. Derek Fisher still has a chance at the ring, so I think kudos to Derek Fisher there. And as far as this goes, the streaking Heat, you know, they were down 27 in this game. Yeah, they came back, but just either the game prior, two games prior, they were down, I believe, 17 at one point. So they're starting to play with fire. No pun intended there, but as they get closer to the Magic 33, which is the number that was set by the Lakers, and 34 obviously is what breaks it. Some people think they could hit 35, 36. They're at 24 now.
Yes.
But again, Boston. You know, Boston had a chance at the last second to try to do something, and they lost out. LeBron hit the game-winning shot with about 8 seconds left. So I think they're playing with fire a little too much, and I think it could bite them before they get to that record.
That's a very good point, Anthony, because, again, they also were down 14 points on a given Sunday at halftime to the New York Knicks in New York. They came back. So, again, it's really challenging to win on the road in the NBA. We have about six teams every year that have a road winning record. So they have their schedule is favorable the next two, three, four contests. Now, I've gone on record as saying, because, Anthony, you asked me a couple of weeks ago if I thought this team would get to the record. I still don't see it happening. Yes, they've won 24 in a row. I don't see them winning another 10 consecutive games. They might win their next two or three games, but I'm telling you, I don't see them winning 30 consecutive games, knowing that they've already won 24. I think the streak will end before it hits 30.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I hate the Heat. I can't stand when they put this whole thing together and they did that big party with LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh. Man, I felt bad for Chris Bosh because in that whole, the new big three, Chris Bosh was just kind of standing off to him. You know what I mean? He looked out of place in that whole thing because really it's about D-Wade and LeBron. But now during this streak, I actually found myself rooting for them even though I can't stand anything about this team. And the strange thing about it is when LeBron was with Cleveland, I liked him, and I was pulling for Cleveland, and I liked D-Wade, and I've always, you know, and I liked the Heat. But once they put them together, it just created some kind of dynamic that I really couldn't stand.
Well, the thing about the Miami Heat, they have a very good nucleus with obviously the big three with Wade and Bosh and LeBron James, but the supporting cast better than ever. I mean, Chalmers, a very good three-point shooter. I like the fact that Shane Battier is an outstanding defensive player and a good three-point shooter. Ray Allen, of course, picking him up from the Boston Celtics. This is an outstanding three-point shooting team. And you know, the thing is, Anthony, the reason they got back in the game against Cleveland after being down by 27 points is the fact that they just hit a barrage of three-point baskets.
Yeah, and you know what? Again, we'll see what happens. Obviously, they got to play the game. So if they do it, kudos to them because there's a lot to be said for that. The fact that they've got the second most of all time is still pretty cool. Well, that's the Heat. We talk about them every week because of the fact that they are, in fact, streaking. But there are other teams. There are other games being played. This week in our spin to win, we've got the Memphis Grizzlies heading to New Orleans to take on the Hornets. The Hornets are 6-point underdogs in this game. In spin to win, as you know, we do put two teams on the wheel, and the lovely Scott will spin that wheel. Scott Pritchard and I are forced to argue for each team, not knowing what team we're going to get, because as you know, the smart bettor always bets with their head, not with what?
Their heart.
That's right.
Emotions.
So all right, we've got it at heart. Thank you.
You have
Scott.
It? You got it covered?
Yes.
Okay.
We do not need the 20-minute explanation, but we do need Scott to spin the wheel.
Scotty's got the Hornet.
I love home team dogs. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. The New Orleans Hornets will give the Memphis Grizzlies all they can handle and then some. I really look at this matchup, and these two teams mirror each other a little bit from the standpoint that they both play good, sound defense, half-court set. So I expect a low-scoring game. And the fact is that as good as the Memphis Grizzlies have been, they do not have a bench. They traded away their best player, and they've won 17 of 20. How they've done it, I don't know. I'm telling you, this team is on borrowed time, the Grizzlies. The Hornets at home, I'm telling you, this game is going to be a toss-up. The 6 points could definitely help you. Get on the Hornets, plus the 6 points. See the cashier.
Nope. You're wrong. You know why? Because I have Memphis. So that's it. Game, set, match. Look, you've got a good Memphis team. This is a solid basketball team. You know, we've talked about them the last couple of weeks. They've got a really good team, 46 and 21 overall. They've faced New Orleans three times this year, twice scoring 96 points, the third time scoring 91. They've won two of the three, and so obviously this is that game where it's like, okay, they've played close games. One by nine, one by five, and I believe when they lost it was by seven or eight. So, yes, it is going to be a close game. They're coming off a big win at Oklahoma City on Wednesday night. It was a last-second tip-in. So, you know, they're riding that wave. And again, they're facing a New Orleans team that's really struggling right now. So it is going to be a close game. And 6 points has kind of been that, they've been around that number all three times. So I think in this one, I think Memphis is going to win, obviously. But I think they're going to, I think it will be a close game. You know, this is kind of a tough call for me. I think this is a game, actually, I've never said this. Memphis is going to win the game, but I think this is a game I wouldn't play.
Well, it's interesting you say that because the Memphis Grizzlies did beat Oklahoma City in overtime by one, but that game was at Memphis. I really feel this team, your Grizzlies, are a bit of a fraud. I respect what they've done up to this point, but as professional sports bettors, it's important to see things before they happen. In the NBA, my friends, it's not who starts, it's who do you have coming off the bench. Now, I love their starters. I love Conley. I like Bayless. He's the one guy coming off the bench who's pretty darn good. Marc Gasol is a stud. Tony Allen, no one's better defensively. And then you look at Zach Randolph. This guy is an offensive rebounding machine. I'm a big, big fan, but their bench is so weak. Again, we'll see what happens in the playoffs. I don't think this team is going to get it done. I love their coach, but again, 5 against 10, I'll take the team with the deeper bench. That's why I love the Denver Nuggets.
I'll tell you what, folks, I, at the moment, am a little dumbfounded, so I think it's time for a break, because as we go to break, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit and try to figure out how a man who uses foil tips to get that beautiful blonde would ever call an NBA team fraud. So, we're the odds couple right here on the Vegas Video Network. Go to break, grab a drink, come back and join us right here.
Oh, hi. I'm Kelly Clinton. That sucks. I wonder if Joan Rivers is watching.
Oh, please. Oh, my God. Who cares?
I don't have a different one. You know who watches this show? Wayne Newton.
You got that right, Kelly. I think you're absolutely beautiful and talented, young lady. 5, 6, 9, 12. Talk your shit.
More camera time for me.
Hey, I wonder if Cher's watching.
Oh, please. I have so many other things to do.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clinton. I'm the host of Talk Tales, and you're watching the Vegas Video Network. That was horrible.
Welcome back to the Odds Couple on the world-famous Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard, joined as always by Anthony Padilla. We'd love for you to become a part of the show. Reach out to us, email oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. You can also reach out to us. We would love to hear your voice on our show. Go to our site, right-hand side, red bar, click there. In the middle of the screen, you see the green bar, start recording. Also, we field live chat questions, anything to do with sports betting, anything to do with sports in general, but specifically sports betting. Also, if you do miss us live, no worries. Reach out to us on YouTube, iTunes, Vegas Video Network, Roku. Again, Vegas Video Network, The Odds Couple. We're here live every Friday, Las Vegas time at 12 noon. Now, where in sports or sports betting do you have to look to find frustration? Are you kidding me?
I told you last week that I went to the Cubs-Rangers game, and you asked me, why would I waste my time? Don't I value my time, right? I got to tell you, Scott, first of all, it was a great game. If you live in a place like Vegas where you don't have access to live games, I mean, other than mine, I don't count the 51s, you know? I mean, it's great, and it's minor league baseball, and that's fun, but this is a major league baseball game. It's spring training, but you're still getting two major league teams. in a minor league park, which is very cool for a lot of fans. And it was just that. It was a high offensive game. There were like four home runs total in the game. The final was 8-5. The Rangers won, but the Cubs actually had the bases loaded in the ninth with the chance to win it. So it was exciting, beginning to end. But more exciting than the game was what I got to witness in between each inning, because we actually had seats right behind the dugout, right behind the Rangers' dugout. And after the first inning, there was a little kid, cutest little kid. This boy couldn't have been more than probably 4 or 5. And after the first inning, he would walk down to the rail, and he would yell over the edge, excuse me, whatever players were walking by, excuse me, can I please have a ball? Excuse me, please, excuse me. It was the cutest thing. Of course, the players are ignoring him. They're going about their business. Every inning, every half inning, he would do this. Well, after about the third inning, his dad decided to get involved in the mix. Now, keep in mind, this little boy is walking up, being polite, saying, excuse me, can I please have a ball? Excuse me, sir. The dad, not so much. The dad just decided, you know what, enough of this polite stuff. I'm going to walk down, started yelling at the first baseman for the Rangers. Hey, Morehouse, why don't you give the kids a ball at spring training? Come on, man, what are you doing? Just give them a ball. Just throw them a ball. Making a scene, you know, causing a ruckus with everybody around, trying to get people on his side. First of all, dude, you're 5'9", 120 pounds, and you're drunk. And you're yelling at a Major League Baseball player who's built like a rock. Okay, now obviously this guy can't do anything, but two things here. One, what are you trying to accomplish? Are you going to shame the Major League Baseball player into throwing your kid a ball? Second of all, this guy would beat your butt. Why would you ever try to go toe-to-toe? Again, this is where I really feel bad for athletes, when you've got this jerk in the stands. What are you doing, man? You've got your kid who's doing things the right way. You know, the players can't just throw up a ball. And then when the guy is yelling at them to throw up a baseball, when he was doing that is when the players would come off, they toss the first baseman a ball to use for warm-ups the next inning, and that's what he's yelling at them. So you don't even know what you're talking about, man. Like, I can't stand parents who go to games not realizing this kid is going to walk away with a far bigger lesson watching his dad act like a jerk than anything that he's been doing otherwise. And sometimes we have background music just because when it gets really heated like this, you know, look, at a baseball game, you do have access to players like you don't in other sports. Don't take advantage of that and don't abuse that right. And as far as this dad goes, Elvis Andrews, being the great guy that he is, actually gave this kid a bat. Now, unfortunately, this kid is going to learn, okay, I try to be polite. My dad yelled and made a scene, and he got what we wanted. So I think the wrong lesson was learned. And dads, come on, you got to be better than this. Are you kidding me?
I guess the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Is that the point of your story? Is there a point to this story?
I don't think there was a wheel involved in my story.
I'm trying to think. With spring training baseball, I'm guessing that maybe that's something that should take place before the game starts.
What's
as
that?
Far as signing baseballs, giving away baseballs, baseball bats, as opposed to during the course of the game?
Well, again, that's why, yes, absolutely, it should be before the game. When the game is being played, let these guys focus on doing their job. You know, I understand you want to yell at them for a high five or a hello or a wave or whatever, but the dad was saying, come on, guys, it's spring training. It's like, what do you mean it's spring training? Now is exactly when they need to focus. They're competing for jobs on the start, you know, on the 24-man roster. Leave them alone. They'll take care of the fans. Baseball players are notorious for taking care of fans, and I actually don't think they get enough credit for all the positive things they do at the ballpark.
All right. Well said, Anthony Padilla. My segment of Are You Kidding Me? We have a new rule in the NFL. It has to do with the NFL, in my opinion, overreacting to the safety of the game. It's a violent game. People know what they're getting dialed in for when they sign up to play in the National Football League. The league has gone overboard. The new rule is if you're a running back and you're downfield, you cannot lead with the crown of your helmet. Are you kidding me? Let's just play two-hand touch below the waist. Or maybe flag football. Are you kidding me? Anthony, what's your take on this?
Two-hand touch below the waist? That it has to be that? They can't?
That's what it's coming down to.
I'm just wondering why they can't just... I agree, it's very close to flag football. And here's some issues that I have with the NFL lately, because you've got all these extreme sports, right? You have the X Games that are wildly popular, where these guys are riding snowmobiles off giant ramps. You know, and it's just implied, you know, what's going on. If you go skydiving, you have to fill out 20 different releases and waivers saying that you know that there's a possibility that chute might not open. These players are signing contracts knowing full well what the potential hazards and health risks are. And they're choosing to accept that for the sake of going out and doing what they love. Why should it be for us? This is a very tricky thing because, yes, I understand there's a responsibility to protect them, but if they know what they're getting into and they're willing to accept that, you know, then I think that you have to let them do it. Wrestlers, professional wrestlers, you know, put themselves in harm's way every day. And these guys are obviously doing steroids, you know, but because it's not naturally competitive, I guess you could say, you know, there's no real records and stuff like that, we're okay with it, but aren't they doing the very thing that we're trying to protect athletes from in other sports? So I think, look, at the end of the day, they know what they're doing. They want that right. Let them play.
I think we have too many laws. Okay, this is Las Vegas, the wild, wild west. We have too many laws on the books. Same thing in the National Football League. We already have too many rules. Let the players play. Take it out of the officials. Again, it's subjective on when they're going to call it, how they're going to call it. Imagine a running back, Arian Foster of the Houston Texans, star running back, breaks a tackle, goes downfield 20, 25, 30 yards, lowers his head instinctively because we know from playing Pop Warner football, he who goes lowest wins. Now it's going to be called back, 15-yard penalty. Are you kidding me? All right, let's keep it moving. This is the part of the show where Anthony and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
This week, I have once again, I'm going back to two teams that I like in this segment. The Oklahoma City Thunder heading to Orlando to take on the Magic. Last week, the Magic were at the Thunder. They were 17-point underdogs. This week, 13.5. Clearly, they're getting better, but still underdogs nonetheless. The Thunder, at this point in the season, are 50-18. The Magic are 19-51. That is a brutal, brutal season. Here's what's going on for the Thunder that's going to work to the Magic's advantage, if you will, in this game. Now, last week I just got straight to the point and said, look, the Thunder are going to win this game. I'm going to say it again. Absolutely, the Thunder are not going to lose this game. First of all, they're a much better team. Second of all, the Magic are just depleted at this point. I told you last week they might as well just go to Disney World. That's all that's really left that they've got going for them. So I say the same thing. Just stay at home, go to Epcot, enjoy your day. That's it. Because this game is going to be rough. You've got Oklahoma City coming off back-to-back losses, which last time they did this, they went on a streak and tore it up for a little while. I don't know that they're going to streak this time. And I do have some concern with this team. I told you either 2 or 3 weeks ago that they were my pick, and I'm going to stand by them. I said they were still my pick to win it all. But while the Heat and some other teams are really taking ownership of their season right now, the Thunder seem to almost be taking a couple of steps backwards. They're not as dominant as they were. They're a younger, fresher team, but they're actually starting to look a little bit more tired. I think they're not as dominant in their wins. They just lost, as we talked about on Wednesday, on a last-second shot to Memphis, and they're, in my mind, a much better team than Memphis, so it shouldn't have been that close to begin with. So as they go into Orlando, yes, they're going to win the game. However, in terms of the 13.5, I think that the Thunder are trying to figure out some things right now, and I just don't see a dominant victory coming out in this one. I do see him winning, but I think it's going to be in the 9, 8 to 10 range. So, strangely enough, once again, the right side for me in this game will be the Magic plus the 13.5. And before I get to Scott, I do want to remind you, once again, last week we were 2-0. I did take this game, won. My buddy took a different team, which he'll tell you about in a second. One, we're hot on the season. Forget Miami streak. We've got our own going on here, and it's like no other. So, again, last time I got this cocky, I lost, but I'm feeling good about this one. So, Scotty, what do you think?
I want to address one of the things that Anthony said. I can't address everything because we'd be here all day. But one of the things he talked about, the Thunder may not be quite as good as the record, even though he has this team winning the NBA title. I've gone on record as saying I'm going with the odds-on favorite, the Miami Heat, simply because you can't win if you don't get there. The Heat will get there, and then I think they'll have home court advantage, meaning four of the seven games will be in Miami. But just to back up and clarify one of Anthony's points, he talked about the Thunder losing against Memphis, a team that they're much better than. But the fact is the Grizzlies were favored to win that game by a point and a half. It went overtime. Memphis ended up winning on a last-second shot. It's the disparity between home and away. Again, on average, about six teams in the entire league have a road winning record. Now, let's get to my right side. I want to recap last week, another winner ATS against the spread. The break-even point, friends, is 52.4%, meaning you have to be right 11 times out of 21 to break even. Very, very challenging to do. Fortunately, we had a very good NFL football season. ATS both clipping along right about 60%. The break-even point, 52.4%. If you're hitting 55, 60%, you're going to do extremely well for yourself. Now, the last 2 weeks, Anthony and I together, perfect. 4-0 ATS against the spread, 6-1 in our last seven plays. Actually, 7-1 in our last eight plays ATS against the spread. Now, let's take a look at a game I'm looking at for today. The New York Knicks are on the road taking on the Raptors of Toronto. The Knicks are a one-point favorite. The money has come in on Toronto. Before I came to the studio today, I actually picked up the last plus one on Toronto at Station Casinos here in Las Vegas. I doubt that it's there now. It's probably a pick. Even now, Toronto, most places, they're minus one. My right side, Toronto Raptors at home, led by Rudy Gay and company, to knock off Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knickerbockers. So take the Raptors plus the one. See the cashier.
This has been a rough show for me. Scotty.
How so? Why would this show be different than any other show?
This show is different because March Madness is underway, and my beloved New Mexico Lobos, who I've been jacked up about all season, they've been playing great, they looked fantastic. They won the regular season, they won the conference tournament, and they looked really dominant. They go into the NCAA tournament, arguably could have been a number two seed. Some even said because of their RPI during the season, potentially could have had the number one in the West. You know, Gonzaga had it, but there was an argument, at least. You've got Steve Alford, who was great at Iowa. He comes to New Mexico. He's really turned the program around, and he's got a solid team. Just announced his new 10-year extension the day before the tournament started. And then what do? They come out as a number three seed, and they take it, and they get it handed to them by Harvard. The 14 seed, Harvard. Now, granted, Harvard has Tommy Amaker, great player in his own right when he played with Duke. But it's Harvard, man. They're doing homework at timeouts. How do you lose, New Mexico? How do you give Harvard their first ever NCAA tournament win and you become the biggest upset on day one? I'm sick about this.
Well, what you have is the seeds don't mean all that much. I mean, the fact is you have 68 teams competing for March Madness. The top four seeds, the four number ones, the odds of those four teams getting through to the final four, forget winning it, are 47.5-1 against, okay? Now, what we're looking at, oh, you want me to go here? No problem. All right. Now, looking at, as far as the 64 teams left in the tournament going into Thursday, the odds of you, for those of you who fill out a bracket, the odds of you filling out a perfect bracket, just to put it in the proper perspective, the odds are greater that you'll win the lottery, Powerball, 50 times in your lifetime. But as far as New Mexico goes, hey, it's one game, one time. I mean, forget 14 versus 3. It has more to do with the fact they were a 10.5-point favorite and they lost the game straight up. My only question is, Lobo Fanatic, why? How? Did you not scout this team? They're a good three-point shooting team, and early on in the game, guys are knocking down wide-open three-pointers. In the second half, they didn't make any adjustments. I love New Mexico. I love their coach. They're a good team, great season. That's the appeal. It's also the curse of March Madness. If you have a bad half, it's over.
Well, I understand for you as a bettor, the bigger factor is the 10.5-point spread. But as the average fan goes, the 314 is a huge problem. You understand my Twitter feed was blowing up with breaking news from ESPN that number three New Mexico upset. I had to go on stage and perform it. I don't even want to talk about it anymore,
it
man.
It must suck to be a fan.
What did I tell you? The Lobos, the Cowboys, the Diamondbacks, the Suns. Why do I like sports? I need to start betting on it all the time. Forget the liking it. Let's just talk about the weekend.
What are you doing this weekend?
Preparing for next week. This weekend's going to be fun. I'm actually going to be out in Prim this weekend. I've got a couple of guys, a couple of friends of mine, the Guidos of Comedy. They're going to be taking over my show Friday, Saturday, because I will be in Prim headlining the show out there. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then next Monday through Thursday, I will actually be filling in for my buddy Nick on the nationally syndicated sports radio show, the Nick Bonsanto Show. So if you get a chance, tune in, have a good time with me. It's 3 to 6 Pacific every day, Monday through Friday. You can listen on the Sports Byline USA network, sportsbylineusa.com, or nickbonsantoshow.com. And to make that even more exciting, on Monday, you will be co-hosting with me.
Looking forward to it. The Nick Bonsanto Show is always a fun time. This weekend, if you're in Las Vegas, check me out live Saturday night, Bally's LA Comedy Club. I'll be doing stand-up comedy. And then also my plays, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com. I'm featured every day on VegasInsider.com. That's VegasInsider.com. For Anthony Padilla, my name is Scott Pritchard. Great having you with us. Good luck and goodbye.
See you next week.